Hello and welcome to the Van Foodster Podcast. I am your host, Richard Wallach, covering the food scene in and around the Vancouver area, across Canada and beyond. This is episode 36 of the Van Foodster Podcast. This week I'll be featuring Guacamole Mexican Grill in Surrey. I will talk about the President's Choice new plant-based product line. I feature some dishes at Bombay Masala Indian Cuisine in Point Grey. I talk about the new cookbook Fast, Easy, Cheap, Vegan. And lastly, feature my interview with Sam Turnbull, author of Fast, Easy, Cheap, Vegan. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Van Foodster, as well as to visit VancouverFoodster.com. for everything food in Vancouver, across Canada, and beyond. Let's get on with this week's episode. Guacamole Mexican Grill had opened up in early 2020 out in the Surrey-Wally area, and it was pre-pandemic, and they said that they've actually done really well since the pandemic began. They're doing a lot of takeout, and now a lot of people are dining in. So they're located at 13646 Grosvenor Road. It's in the Wally area of Surrey. Open for lunch and dinner daily from 11:30 to 8 p.m. Follow me on Instagram at GuacMexGrill. So I finally had a chance to visit this restaurant. I did it as a takeout, but of course you can dine in. That's available for you. And they're also doing a delivery in the Surrey area by DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, that kind of thing. Delicious Mexican food. It's authentic. The owners are from El Salvador, but have been in Canada for many years, and they had a dream to open up their own Mexican restaurant. And of course, they have some Salvadoran dishes on the menu as well, and they are wonderful. So I'll just give you an idea of what I tried. I did try a lot, but I think there's a lot more to try. So I'm definitely looking forward to a return visit. The pupusas is one of their specialties. It's a Salvadoran specialty, and this is actually kind of hard to find in the Vancouver area. The only other place that I know of that makes them that were really good when I had them was at Palito's in Coquitlam, but as far as Vancouver goes, it's hard to find because you really have to find the person who came from Salvador, from El Salvador, and this is their tradition. This is what they know to make, and these guys are making a wonderful job. So they have, they're basically corn tortillas, they're handcrafted, and they're grilled with a selection of stuffings. So one of the stuffings was something I actually never heard of before. It was a cheese in loroco, and I didn't actually know what loroco is. So it is native to El Salvador, and it is like a kind of like a flower, sort of a flower, but it looks like a pea, like a green pea. But it's definitely a flower, and I loved it. I mean, they say, you know, you'll either love it or you hate it. I actually loved it. So great idea, and it's something different, right? It's something different that we don't have this here. So cheese and loroco is one of the stuffings. I also had the cheese and chorizo. I tried the cheese and chicken and the mixta. It all comes with a side of some pickled cabbage and salsa on the side for dipping. And Salvadoran specialty. So definitely you want to eat this hot. So this is one of these ones that if you're getting takeout, get it as takeout, but eat it right away. And then by the time you're home, it's gone, and then you'll have to get another order, I guess. But yeah, I don't know for delivery if that dish is going to work so well for delivery, but definitely if you're going to eat inside, you'll be able to eat it hot and fresh right there. I also tried some of their tacos. They have quite a selection of tacos. They've got a regular section, and they have a premium side. I tried the asado, which is a steak, a chorizo, al pastor, and their beef birria. All were really good. It comes with some salsa on the side. Another favorite dish of mine was the chili relleno. This is actually another one that's hard to find. People do it around the city, but they're not always that great. So the best one I had found previous to this one was actually in Bellingham at a Mexican restaurant down there, and it was delicious. Well, so was this one too. Poblano chili stuffed with cheese, rolled in egg batter, and grilled till golden brown, so with rice and refried beans. This was just wonderful. They actually make another version too. I didn't have it, but I want to have it next time. It's actually the chili relleno. It's the same idea. It's got with cheese, and they have a beef inside as well. So that sounds good next time around. Enchiladas. This is one of my favorite dishes. A corn tortilla stuffed with beef, topped with your delicious rich mole. I love mole, first of all. So you either love mole or you hate mole. I love mole. I have it everywhere I go. But the mole and the beef combination was really good. So definitely will order that one again. Also had the pollo mole. This was a marinated grilled chicken breast. This one wasn't my favorite. So I found that the grilled chicken was a little too tough for me. It's like I like more moist grilled chicken. So this was a thinner grilled chicken. This might have been better if the chicken was a little thicker. They would have a bit more tenderness to it. Then that would have been great. But it was just too thin for me. I didn't really care for it. But the mole is delicious. And I definitely would order the enchilada version again. Then they had something called the triangle. Now, it's actually not called a triangle, but it looks like a triangle, and it's a tortilla layered with chicken, rice, cheese, and grilled. It's almost like a burrito, but it's not a burrito. So does that make any sense to you? But anyway, you got to order it. It's not on the menu yet. It probably will be on the menu this week, though. I call it the triangle. So just say Van Futzer said it's a triangle, and then they'll know what you mean. And tried a couple desserts. It was the flan with caramel, which was wonderful. I loved it. It was dense, delicious. The flavors were totally on point, as was the tres leches, three milk cake. Yum, yum, yum. Loved it. So they're doing wonderful food there. It's all made in-house. Everything's made from scratch, made in-house. Great job there. So check them out, Guacamole Mexican Grill in Surrey. You can order from the delivery apps or head on over there on your own. President's Choice has recently added to their plant-based product line. You can get President's Choice products at Superstore, Loblaws across Canada. After months of cooking at home, Canadians are looking to shake their comfort food routine up and add some more plant-based dishes into their life. So I got a bunch of different ones here. I tried some different things. One of them that I liked was the plant-based fresh beefless ground. So this is like your meat, but it's not real meat, of course. It's got no animal products in it. It's kind of like meatless meat. And I did this as a recipe. I used a local chef's recipe. Noel has a great blog. He's Powered Up Plants on Instagram, and he's got a great... Powered the plant, something like that. Anyways, he's got a great recipe on his blog. He's got a whole bunch of recipes on his blog. They're all plant-based, and I used one of them. It was Hawaiian-style veggie ground over quinoa, and it was great. So loved it. Just very easy to make, and we did really well with this with the plant-based veggie ground on there. It was a tasty dish on the quinoa, and you can do it on rice if you want. You can do it on different things. So, you know, if you find yourself a great recipe, just use that recipe and then just use it with the ground. I also tried their plant-based vegan chili. I had that for lunch one day. That comes actually as a refrigerated package versus the beefless ground comes as a frozen package. So it's easy with the vegan chili. You can just kind of heat it up in the microwave and you're done. You've got yourself a lunch. You can do that at work if you like. I've got some other products here I haven't tried yet, but the plant-based bolognese, pasta sauce. I've also got a mayo style, like it's a plant-based mayo. So I'll be trying those eventually. So lots of products there. You can definitely look for them in your grocery store, in your local grocery store. Bombay Masala Indian Cuisine, I've been to a few times already up in the Point Grey area. I love this restaurant. It's more of a fine dining Indian, I guess, from the group. They have other restaurants, but this is more of their fine dining one. And my favorite, so basically had some favorites, the chili fish. I love this dish. What I discovered, though, is when I ordered chili fish for takeout recently, it's good, but it's not, you need to have this dish fresh right from the kitchen. So takeout for that one was so great. So I had it again, and it was delicious, a little spice to it, and they do a great job. Great appetizer. Also the tandoori cauliflower done in the tandoor, very, very tasty. I tried this new dish for once. Now, this dish is called Tiger Prawns Noodles. It's not available for takeout, so I've been waiting to try it. But it was more like you have your like Chinese noodles. So this is a bit more of a play because you've got your Chinese noodles type of idea with the tiger prawns. It was good, but definitely not exactly what I thought. It's not like the traditional Indian for sure. Now, the Nargassi fish kofta. You've got to go and try this. This is part of my current curry challenge, which is on right now till April 4th. This was delicious. Chef Jazzy has done a great job with this. Beautiful curry, just like nutty and just creamy and beautiful flavors throughout. The fish kofta. So normally a dish like this is done with a cheese kofta. So he switched it up and created a fish kofta. When you cut it, it's very light fish, codfish, and it's just so good. done a great job. It comes with a rice, and the rice is also not on their menu. It's a special kind of rice with some veggies in it and a very, very fluffy naan. Just plain naan, but you know, you take the naan bread and you dip it in the curry, and it's yummy. So very good job. Check that dish out, and hopefully that dish stays on the menu after the curry challenge is over with. I also had my Peshwari naan. I love this. I always get this there. It's basically coconuts, pistachios stuffed in on top, and it just got a really good flavor to it, and I have it a little bit at night, and then I had the rest for breakfast the next day. Anyway, it was good. I love to have it for breakfast the next day. And then I just tried one of his desserts. It's actually not on the menu. Chef is recipe testing, and I was not the guinea pig, because it was delicious. I loved it. But I love trying desserts, especially when chefs are creating something new that I haven't had before. Homemade Basan pistachio is what it's called. Kind of like a burfi if you've had Indian desserts before. But definitely something unique and different. And they've got a lot more unique and different coming up. They said they'll be adding to their menu very, very soon. For the springtime, you'll see a lot of new dishes at Balmbay Masala Indian Cuisine. So they're open Tuesday to Sunday up in the West Point Grey Village area. Won a new cookbook recently. I just checked this out. It's called Fast, Easy, Cheap Vegan. It's by Sam Turnbull, author. She's based out of Toronto, and her new book is launching this week on Tuesday, March 30th. It comes out across Canada, bookstores, online, as well as worldwide. So quite a distribution on that. This is her second book. She has another book about a vegan book, came out a few years ago. That has done phenomenal, she said. It's gone through like 9 printings, and it's available globally. And I'm sure this one will be as well. It was a great book, and I love here that this book is all about being what it says, fast, easy, cheap, and vegan. She says all the dishes can be made under $10. She's got 101 recipes in the book, and everything can be done between 10 and 30 minutes. So it's a very simple, you know, simple dishes, 10 ingredients or less, $10 or less to cost, and 30 minutes or less for cooking. So great idea. If you're in a hurry and you want to make some quick dishes, you can definitely do that. Now, I made the creamy miso udon noodles dish. That was yummy. That was like, that didn't cost much. Maybe it cost like $6, $7 ingredients. And it was definitely like, you know, simple, under 10 ingredients to make. And it was very tasty. And then I also made the chickpea lettuce wraps, another great dish. So very simple and good protein value on that dish as well. So lots definitely to try in this book. And you want to find it. Well, Fast, Easy, Cheap Vegan. It's out on Tuesday, March 30th across Canada. Indigo, Amazon, all these different bookstores will have it, as well as probably your local bookstore, but easy to get it online and have it delivered to your door. I also had a chance to interview Sam Turnbull this week, and I had a great chat with her and learned a lot more about what she's doing, her cooking and everything, all her vegan adventures, and how she wasn't vegan when she grew up, and how life changed and she became vegan. And she's got her own blog. She's got a YouTube channel. She's awesome on Instagram. So you want to check her out. So it's Sam Turnbull. So have a listen to my conversation with Sam. Can you tell me what got you into cooking, specifically vegan cooking?
Absolutely. Well, I went vegan was the first step. I grew up in a family of foodies and chefs and butchers and hunters, so not vegan at all. But when I watched a documentary that inspired me, I went vegan overnight. And so I had to figure out how to make food that I loved, that was just as satiating and flavor-packed and delicious as the food I was enjoying before. So that is how I got into vegan cooking.
What was the documentary that changed your life?
Yeah, so it's called Vegucated, and I watched it actually because I thought it was a documentary about vegetables, and I was just in the mood to feel a little bit healthier, a little bit cleaner, but it turned out to be a documentary about people going vegan, and it completely opened my mind and changed my perspective and started a whole new life for me. Who knew?
Okay, there you go. So how many years ago was that?
That was a little over 8 years, so yeah, 8.5 years, I think.
Okay, so then you came out with you had your first book that was called Fuss Free Vegan, is that correct?
That's right.
And so how soon after you watched that documentary did you write that first book?
That book was published in 2017, I think, and I went vegan in 2013.
Okay, Okay. Now you've got your second book, and it is about to come out. It's out in a few days. I think you're like a few days away, right?
That's right. Pretty exciting. It's going to be out on March 30th.
Right, exactly. So can you tell me how your book, Fast, Easy, Cheap Vegan, came to be?
Yeah, so basically, I really wanted to bust those misconceptions. A lot of people think that vegan food has to be really time-consuming. You have to spend a whole bunch of time in the kitchen. It's really complicated. You have to use a whole bunch of hard-to-find ingredients, go to, like, specialty health food stores, and that it can be really expensive because of that as well. Either you have to buy these, like, fancy products that are from some corner of a jungle, or you have to buy this, like, really expensive, like, processed vegan food. And so I just really wanted to bust all those misconceptions about vegan food. Of course, it can be expensive and time-consuming if you want it to be, just like anything else could be. But I wanted to bust those misconceptions by making fast, easy, cheap vegan. So every recipe in this book takes 30 minutes or less to prepare, cost $10 or less for the entire dish, and uses 10 ingredients or less to make it all very fast, easy, cheap, and of course, vegan.
Well, I like you're right about price for sure, because I made the creamy miso udon noodles last night, and it was very inexpensive to make. It was very easy to make. It didn't take me the 10 minutes that your recipe says. It took me a little longer. Yeah. That's only because I attempted to do two recipes at the same time, and I was kind of running around the kitchen.
Multitasking will do that.
So in that recipe, actually, so it called for a lime, but I didn't have a lime. I had a lemon. So I used the lemon instead of the lime. Do you think that's okay for people to do that? Does it change the taste dramatically?
I would say, yeah, it does change the taste dramatically. I always recommend following a recipe, whether it's mine or anyone else's, to a T the first time you make it, because then you'll really get the best result and what the recipe writer created. And then if from there you want to experiment and play around with different ingredients, then you can definitely do that. But at least you know what was originally like expected.
Well, I'm going to redo that one. I'm going to do it again with a lime.
Yeah, lime is really, it's a really nice pair. The lime with the miso is just a really beautiful combination. Yeah,
that's good. In your book on page 66, one recipe, oatmeal breakfast cookies. Tell me about this recipe and how the banana plays into the cookies.
Yeah, so this is a recipe for if you want something kind of sweet in the morning that you can kind of grab and go. This is kind of in between a cookie and a granola bar, and it's a little bit healthier because it's a breakfast food. And so it's really nice. It's just a bunch of oats and nuts and delicious things. And yeah, there's a banana in there, which replaces the oil in this recipe. So you don't need to have all those extra empty calories from oil. You can just have a banana, which adds a lot of moisture and some chew. And yeah, it's a really great recipe. I have a whole bag of them in my freezer right now because I love to just have them to snack on throughout the day.
So would it be okay if someone was to substitute the all-purpose flour or take the all-purpose flour out and put oat flour in? Would it work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert in alternative flour cooking, and of course different flours do react very differently. But in that case, I think that would probably be fine, especially because I believe it's only a quarter cup of flour in that recipe, so it shouldn't have too much of an impact. I think you'd be a-okay.
Okay, because there are a lot of different flours around. People like to play. Some people like to go almond flour. There's been different things people are doing. So I'm just kind of curious how that works.
Right. And they definitely react differently, right? Like almond flour is literally just ground up almonds. And so it's not going to be as good at absorbing things or, you know, making things get fluffy. So they all have their different purposes for sure.
Of course. In your book on page 100, you've got one recipe on a 30-minute minestrone. It calls for vegetable broth. Would people be able to substitute a vegetable broth with a chickenless broth, like a vegan chickenless broth? Would that work? Would that have a different flavor to it?
Yeah, that's basically the same thing. So yeah, as long as it's vegan, I think you're good to go. And it could have, you know, slightly different flavors. I think all vegan vegetable broths, like different brands, whether you make it homemade, whether you use my spice mix, I actually have a mix in this book as well for a homemade vegetable broth powder, but they're all going to be a little bit different. So if you use a mushroom broth, for example, that would be a little bit richer, more umami. But yeah, some are going to be a bit saltier. Some are going to be, you know, a bit richer flavor, some a bit lighter. So you can definitely play around with that. But if you're not familiar with a different kind of like chickenless vegetable broth or one you're trying, then you might want to save adding the salt till last in a recipe because maybe it's really salty. Sometimes they can be really salty.
Right. Well, the miso's got salt in it, so it's actually, so I would never add salt to a dish like that because you've got the miso, you've got the salt in the miso already. Can you tell us, my listeners, what three ingredients we'd find in your home vegan pantry?
Three? Only three? My God, you should see my pantry. Some of my go-to staples would be nutritional yeast, which if you don't know what that is, it's actually really common these days, but it is a non-active yeast, so it's not the same as bread yeast at all. And instead, it's this kind of flaky, cheesy, nutty tasting stuff that we love to use in our recipes. And it's also good for you. That's why it's called nutritional yeast. It's the worst name in the world. They should really give it a better name. But it's really tasty. It's a nice way to add some cheesiness and richness and umami to a recipe. So that's definitely a favorite for me. Another one would be raw cashews, which are really great because they can be easily blended up into a cheese or into a creamy sauce. So you can do a lot of stuff with that. And another one would be popcorn kernels because I eat popcorn almost every single night because I'm addicted.
Wow. Okay. Where do you get your inspiration for the recipes you create?
So it totally depends. A lot of my recipes, I like to recreate kind of classic dishes that a lot of us are familiar with, but make them vegan. So everything from mac and cheese to, you know, Caesar salad to tofu bolognese or like a meat bolognese. So I'll just try to make vegan versions of those so that everyone can, you know, eat vegan and eat the food that they love as well. So yeah, a lot of times I just take it from classic recipe concepts and then just figure out the ways that I can make the textures and flavors have the same kind of vibe and make everyone feel good and satiated and delicious.
What are your favorite dishes that you cook at home?
My favorite dishes that I cook at home. It's always such a hard question when people ask that because I love tasting new things. That's why I do what I do. I'm really excited about experimenting in the kitchen. But if I have a night where I'm like, I just want my good old favorite comfort food, it's always going to be a noodle dish. So usually a plate of pasta would be my favorite. I think my tofu bolognese is one of my most favorites, but that's in my first cookbook. And in this cookbook, I have a whole section on noodles because I love them. one of my favorites from this book is the 10-ingredient lemon cream pasta, which is really great. So maybe next time if you have lemons, opt for that instead. But it's really creamy and lemony, so it's got that kind of fresh vibe from the lemon, but it also nice and creamy, which is not a flavor you always get in vegan cooking, so it's really nice.
That's actually great. That's a great idea. Yeah, it's only that the whole thing was, I missed, when I was reading the ingredients, I missed the part that said lime. So then I was like, oh no, no lime, I'm in trouble. If there was one thing that you could do as a chef that you've not done already, what would it be?
Well, it'd be fun to have a cooking show. That'd be something I'd want to do. I have a YouTube channel and I've done live cooking classes before, but yeah, having a real, like, you know, on TV cooking show would be a dream for sure.
That's a good idea. You have a vegan cooking show, of course, right?
I know. Yeah, I know. I've actually talked to networks before and I think they're too scared to do the vegan thing right now, but maybe in the future.
Interesting. How different is this book, your current book that's about to come out versus your first book?
Yeah, so my first book, Fuss Free Vegan, with that, I really wrote the cookbook I wish I had when I went vegan. So it was all about classic, veganizing my classic favorite recipes. So, you know, that was pancakes and burritos and tacos and pies and cookies and cakes and pastas and like all of those classic recipes, grilled cheese, you know, everything that you wanted that I used to eat. I made that into a vegan version that was easy to make too, because I don't like using complicated ingredients if I can avoid it. So I make things as easy as possible so that everyone can make them. So that was the kind of approach on that book and it did really well. I think it has over 1,500 five-star Amazon reviews right now, which is crazy. It's constantly going out of stock.
Wow.
Yeah, that was crazy. And so we're excited about fast, easy, cheap vegan. So yeah, so the goal with this one is it still has those ingredients that we're used to. So really basic ingredients you can find at your local grocery store, nothing crazy or challenging. But instead of veganizing my favorite classic dishes, this one is about making it as easy and as quick and as cheap as possible and getting, of course, making delicious recipes with that. So it's really about getting you in and out of the kitchen as quickly as possible, because let's be honest, we got better things to do than cook all day.
True.
Except for me, that's what I do, but not everyone else does that.
So President's Choice just came out with a new product. It's a vegan mayo style spread. What would you suggest people do with it?
Yeah, well, a great one would be to make my spiced up BLT pasta salad, which definitely has a Vigo mayo in that. So that would be a nice option for sure. And yeah, there's a whole bunch of brands of vegan mayos these days. And so it makes it really easy to substitute that ingredient, which is great. In my first cookbook, I had a recipe for a homemade vegan mayo, but now if you don't want to make it, you can just pick it up at the store. So super easy.
Yeah, it seems like President's Choice has come up with a whole bunch of plant-based products right now. And the thing is, you get all these products and you see them in the store, but a lot of people don't know what to do with them. Like, what do you do with this? You want to have it, but then you don't know where does it fall, right? What recipe does it go with? So you've obviously got some ideas for people in your book. So people can get the book. Is it coast to coast in Canada? Are you available in the US yet? How is that working?
Available worldwide, anywhere in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Incredible. Exciting.
So you can get it from like Amazon or Indigo or a local bookseller as well, wherever you want to go. And if your local bookseller doesn't carry it yet, just tell them to order it in and I'm sure they can do that for you. No problem.
So last question for you. Is there anything you want our listeners to know about your book? It is coming out March 30th, as you just mentioned. Anything in there that is useful, of some information that they have not thought of before? I love the easy steps you have in there, and that it's all under $10, which is great. Anything else that people should know?
I'm just really excited about it, and I hope people love it as much as I do. You know, the funny thing about this is I've been writing this book for about 2 years now and doing all the food photography and everything as well. But I wasn't allowed to dance it until just the middle of December. So I've been enjoying these recipes for years, but not being able to share them. And I, like, as someone who likes, I post a recipe on my blog every single week. So it's been like hard for me to hold back this delicious info with people because I really want to share it and put it out to the world. So I'm just really excited to put these recipes into people's hands and to see them make them and share them on social media. And I hope everyone enjoys them as much as I do.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Tune into the next episode next week to hear more interviews with chef and cookbook authors, as well as other features. Please tell your friends about this podcast and have them subscribe to the Van Foodster Podcast in Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, and Amazon Music to hear my weekly show covering the food scene in and outside of Vancouver.